Station in the Daf Yomi is Gemara Bava Metzia Daf Yud Tes. We begin about two thirds of the way down Omud Aleph on Yud Tes at the two dots. We continue to learn for the safety and success of the Chayalim in Eretz Yisrael. They should be secure. They should be safe in everything that they do. They should bring back the Chatufim and Be'ezus Hashem. There should be peace in all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, we quote the Mishnah. Two dots, Yutes, Omer Aleph, two-thirds of the way down, Shechruri Avodim V'chule. We had said in yesterday's shir, the Mishnah had brought down that if a person were to find a document freeing an Eved Kenani or a Shivcho Kenanis, so the Mishnah had said, you are not allowed to go and give it back. Now, Tan Rabbanan, the Braisa expands upon the Mishnah and tells us, Motzo Shtar Shichur Bashuk. If a person were to find such a document freeing an Eved Kenani or a Shivcho Kenanis in the marketplace, in the Shuk. So, Bizman Sheharav Modeh, if the person who owned this Eved, he admits, yes, I had in fact freed that slave, so then, Yachsil Eved, you are allowed to in fact return the document to the Eved, because there's no doubt that this Eved in fact has been freed. However, ain't a Rav Modeh, but if the master says, hey, I never freed that slave, so then lo yachzir, lo lezeh, lo lezeh. You can't give this document back to the owner of the Eved, and you can't give it back to the Eved. Now, the Gemara questions and says, bizman sharav modeh miyo yachzul Eved. The Braisa clearly states that if the master does admit that this document was a real document and that he had freed this slave, so then you can give it back to the Eved. The Eved is a Eved Mishuchrar, and he can use this document to go and prove that he is in fact a Eved Mishuchrar. Now, Vamai, how come we allow you to return this document? Because our basic principle over the last couple of days has been when you find documents, if you're going to hurt somebody, if one of the two parties potentially is going to be hurt, and we don't know if it really belongs to that other person, and you're hurting the other party as a result of giving it back when we're not sure that it should be given back, then we don't give it back. So here, why are we giving back this document? Because, amai, nechosh, we should be concerned, shema kosav li te lo b'nisan. When the master decided to free this Eved Kenani, and he writes up this document in Nisan, shema kosav li te lo b'nisan, he intended to give it to him in Nisan, but for whatever the reason, it was delayed. So the date in the document says Nisan, but the actual freedom, the actual being Mishacharer, the Eved, only occurred 6 months later in Tishrei. Now, what's going to happen? The Ozal Abda, the Eved, is going to take this document that says he's a freed person from Nisan, and meanwhile, Vikona Nichsin Minisan V'Yatishrei, any properties that he had actually bought between Nisan and Tishrei, really belonged to his master, because after all, Masha Kona Eved Kona Rabo, and he wasn't freed until Tishrei. So for whatever the reason, he bought properties in his own name, supposedly, from Nisan to Tishrei, but they really belonged to his master, Masha Kona Eved Kona Rabo. But now, the Ozal HaRav Vizamninu, these properties, which really belonged to the master, because the Eved had purchased them while he was still an Eved, and the Rav went and sold them, the master went and sold them. And now, this Eved has a shtar that says he's a free person from Nisan. Umapikli l'shichror, the cause of Nisan. He now has a document saying that he's a free person from Nisan. So those properties that his master had sold, he can now go to those people that purchased those properties and say, hey, you purchased them inappropriately. The katorif l'kuchos shalokidin. He'll go to the l'kuchos and say, hey, my master sold you those properties. My master wasn't allowed to sell you those properties at that point in time. I was a free person from Nisan. Look at the document. And therefore, when he sold them to you, they were sold inappropriately. So now I can go to Beis Din and get those properties back. So why aren't we concerned that the Eved will end up doing this? This freed Eved will now claim that he was freed actually from Nisan and not from Tishrei when he actually was freed, and will inappropriately take from those Lekuchos that had bought the properties from his master between Nisan and Tishrei. Now, the Gemara says, there isn't a problem, according to Mandi Omar, that says that it's a zuchus for an Eved to be freed. Zuchus hu lo Eved. This is a machlokis, the Gemara tells us. Rashi reminds us this was a Gemara in the first Perek in Gittin on Daf Yud Beis, and Rashi tells us in zuchus hu lo Eved, Tova hi etzlo, shematiro bekahal. It is a big zchus for the Eved. Now he goes from being just a mitzvah in mitzvahs like an Isha, he's not allowed to marry a Jewish woman, and now he goes into a status of being a full-fledged Jew, and he's mutter lovo lekahal, and he can marry a Jewish woman. The kivan dischus hu, and since this is a zchus for him, we can now explain this maisa, the mishosh shenichtav zoche b'shichrur. In fact, as the Gemara continues, and it says, "Sheyotzi mitachas Rabbi Lucheris is uschutz v'him uch abaye," and we hold like abaye. What did abaye say? The Amar edov bechasumov zochlo lay. We had this previously that when the edim sign on the document, they're acquiring the item for the person, and in this situation, it's uschutz v'him. According to Man the Amar, it says it's uschutz for the eved to be freed. So therefore, zochin liyodim shlo b'fonov, the edim go and are mezake to him to be a free person. Not from Tishrei when it's actually given, but from Nisan when it's actually written up. And therefore, they actually freed him as of Nisan. And therefore, he's not going to be Torah from the Lekuchos Shelo Kedin. He, in fact, will be taking it from the Lekuchos absolutely with halachic permission, because he was a freed person from Nisan. And therefore, Shapir, according to the Man D'Yomei, in this Machlokis in the Gemara in Gittin, that says it's his chus for the Eved to be freed, and the Edim, we hold like Abaye, that the Edim, where their signatures are actually Zochel Lo Yodim Shlo B'Fonav, so therefore, he's considered free from Nisan, and therefore, he's not inappropriately taken from the Lekuchos. However, El Man D'Yomei, if you go according to the other Man D'Yomei, it says, in fact, Chov Hula Eved, it's not a schus for the Eved. Now, why would it not be a schus for the Eved? So Rashi explains, Chov also who, Shiyotse Mitachas Rabo, he's actually losing out by becoming a free person. Because, Kolomar, Hefsed Hulo, it is considered a Hefsed for him. She'im Eved, the Bacha says the word, Shokohen, who postlo min ha-truma. If, in fact, he previously had been an Eved of a Kohen, he was allowed his Kenyan Kaspo to go and eat truma. But now, when he's a freed person, he loses the ability to eat truma. Truma is less expensive than regular food because only a limited number of people can eat it. So because of the rules of supply and demand, it's just not as much in demand. So it costs less. So it was actually easy for him to get fed. And now he loses that ability to go and eat truma. And furthermore, even if his master was a Yisrael, Himshel Yisrael, Ostro b'Shivcha Kenanis, he no longer can go and be with a Shivcha Kenanis. He has to be with a Jewish woman. A Jewish woman is more virtuous. The Zilale, B'Shrichale, Upritzale, he would prefer to be with a Shivcha Kenanis, who is on a lower spiritual level and will do things and act in a priestess-dick way that a Jewish Meidler wouldn't do. So therefore, according to the opinion that says, Chov Hula Eved, you're not doing him a favor. And therefore, when the Edim signed on the Shtar, in Nisan, even if we hold like Abaye, the Edim bechosm of Zochenlo, but this is not Zochenlo, this is Chovenlo. And we do not say Chovenlo Yodom Shelo B'Daito. So therefore, they cannot acquire it for this Eved in Nisan, and only when he actually is freed in Tishrei does he become free. And therefore, Ma'ikel Meimar, when he goes, Shiyosu B'Tachas Yod Rabo L'Cheres, it's only in Tishrei. So in this situation, he could go and inappropriately claim from the Kuchos, the Kotor of the Kuchos, Shlo Kedin. So why aren't we concerned about that? We finally get to the question of the Gemara. And the Gemara answers, no. The Chiyos L'Mitchav, when this guy comes to court to claim that the properties were inappropriately sold by his master between Nisan and Tishrei, because he has a document that says he was freed in Nisan, when in fact he was only freed in Tishrei, and he's taking from the Lekuchos inappropriately. Basin's very smart. I'm reading it. They're going to tell him, bring us a raya. I see raya. Emas moto shichru liidoch. Bring us a raya as to when you were actually freed. It's not enough to have the document. Okay, we know you're a freed person. In regards to counting to a minion, in regards to marrying a Jewish woman, we have no problem. But bring us a document. If you want to go collect from these lekuchos, bring us a document that you actually received this shtar shichror in the month of Nisan. Not that it was just written in the month of Nisan, but bring us a document that shows or proves that you actually freed in Nisan. So then, that would be fine to go collect from the lekuchos. But otherwise, then you can't go and collect from the lekuchos unless you tell us exactly, prove to us when you actually were mishachre. So therefore, even according to the Man D'Yomei, it says it's a chov huli eved. There is no concern that it'll inappropriately be kotor of lekuchos shelo kedin, because the basin is smart enough to know. Go and ask when we actually freed, not when does the document say that you became an eved mishachre. Then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, likewise, if you find these daitaki or a matana v'chule, if you find a daitaki, which he said was a document that a shchiv mira, a person on his deathbed, writes out, so he doesn't lose hope and he doesn't, chas v'shalom, die a little bit earlier, we are very, very careful not to distress him. And therefore, if he just says, give such and such to such and such a person, that is considered kiksuvim umisurim dami, and we write up a document, this daitaki, to go and prove that that, in fact, transfer took place. And if and when he dies, so then the transfer does take effect at the moment of death. Now, the Gemara says, Tana Rabban, we learn the Braitza, Ezehu Daitaki. What is this definition of a Daitaki? So the word Daitaki is a shorthand for Da Tehe lemeikam vilios. So this word, daitaki, is telling us basically that this transfer, this gift that the Shchiv Merah gave to the other person, it should be mikuyam. Do tehe lemeikam vilios. It should be considered that it's a valid transfer of the item. That's where they get the word daitaki from. And in fact, she'im meis, if the person dies, if the person on the deathbed doesn't die, he's not a ghost, he's not likely he's going to die, he's just a sick person, he's in the ICU, we don't know what's going to be his outcome, so he writes this daitaki, he gives over the property, we write the daitaki up, so the person, if he dies, she'im meis, nechosel leploni, then the property, the item, does in fact go over to Plony. He goes over to the person that he gave the gift to. If he doesn't die, then we said, the matnash chibira is only going to go through if in fact he dies. Then the Gemara asks, what do we mean by a matana? We had daitaki and matana. What does it mean by matana? A present, a gift? That means kol shekasubo mehayom uli achamisa. Here we're saying right now that a matana means that the person is saying, I'm giving this over to you right now, which should take effect mehayom, but it also only takes effect after the person passes away. So it's mehayom uli achamisa. The more questions is what? A matana must only be like a deathbed matana? That it should take effect only upon the person's death? You can't give somebody a matana in life? So more says, Alma, iksiva mehayom uli achamisa hu dukani. So then, a present only works if you write it with this lashon of it should take effect for my yom and the day after I die. Ve'ilo, and if he doesn't state that, if it doesn't write, mehayom ulachamisa, lo kani, it's not a matana. What, a person can't give a matana in lifetime? So the Gemara says, no, that's not what it means. It means here, we're comparing the daitaki and the matana. We're specifically only talking about a matana that should be like a deathbed wish. So Amar Abayi, Haki Kamar, the comparison in our Mishnah is coming to teach us the following. Ezo hi matnas bari, shehi ki matnas shrivmira. What is an example of a person who is healthy and he wants to give a matana that is similar to the matana of a shchiv merah? And in what way do we say it's similar to the matana of a shchiv merah? The lo koni elo yachamisa, that it only takes effect after the person's death. If you don't want it to take effect after the person's death, you just give a matana to somebody else. But here in the Mishnah, we're comparing daitaki and matana because they're juxtaposed together, so they must be similar. So the point that Abayi is making is when the Mishnah says a matana, it's not talking about a regular matana. It's talking about a matana that should have the same dinim as a shchiv merah, that it only takes effect when the person dies. That's if you write in it. Kol shekasubo mehayom, I'm giving it to you from now. However, ulach misa, but it really fully only takes effect after misa. So therefore, what he is essentially doing, what the Mishnah is telling us is, this is how a person can go around the normal laws of Yerusha. Now, we're not trying to bypass none of the laws of Yerusha, but if a person wishes that his property be distributed in a different way, he's allowed to do so in his lifetime. So if a person wishes to go, for example, and give all of his money away to his children in any which percentage he wants, his sons to his daughters, he wants to give this one this, he wants to give that one that, he has the right to do so. But once the person dies, so then the halachos of Yerusha go into effect. So here, by giving this matana that should be like a matna shchiv merah, so you can do this and accomplish this even if you're healthy and essentially bypass the normal laws of Yerusha, which you have the right to do during your lifetime. So this is a way to do it in your lifetime, but it will only take effect upon your death. So that's the big chiddush of the Mishnah. Now, the Gemara says, why in our Mishnah do we not allow you to return any of the items that we said? If you found them, you weren't allowed to return them. Taima delo omar tnu. Because in each of these situations, the person did not say, yeah, that's a valid document, you can give it to him. Implication being, ha omar tnu, that in our Mishnah as well, if the person who wrote this document says, in fact, yeah, it's a valid document, so then you do give it over to the person who will benefit from having the document in his possession. No, we are allowed to give it. Gemara says, but wait a second. Our Mishnah, if you're learning our Mishnah this way, seems to go against the following Braisa. Urminu, we learned in the following Braisa, Motza Daitikos, Apotikos, Umatonos. If a person found either a Daitiki or an Apotiki, Apotiki, we said already many times, means po tehe koi, that you shall be able to go collect from this field. So for a person who, let's say, lent money, Reuven lent money to Shimon, and Shimon says, this will be the field that will be the lien on your loan. Not all my fields, but this field, bedavka, apo tehe koi, and apotiki, so this will be the specific field that you can collect from on the lien. Or this matana, this type of a gift that we just spoke about. So apopi shishnei amodim, the Braisa says, even though both parties say that this was a valid daitiki, a valid apotiki, a valid matana, even though both parties agree to this, nevertheless, the Braisa says, lo yatsu, lo lozev, lo lozev. The Braisa says you can't return it. Our Mishnah said you could return it if you said tenu. In other words, if the person who wrote the document says, yes, it's a valid document, you can give it to the other guy. Whereas the Braisa says you can't. So there's a stira between our Mishnah and the Braisa. Now, what's the explanation for the Braisa saying you can't return it? After all, the guy says it's a valid document. So Rashi brings down in the bottom of Rashi, Diramas lo yachzir, and he says, Shema kos volozeh. Maybe, in fact, the document was written up. Velo masar lo. Velo zocha bikarka. So let's say it was a document giving over a piece of karka as a present. So Reuven writes it up to give to Shimon, either as a daitiki or as an apotiki or as a matana. But then he changed his mind. The Chazar v'kosav liacher. So he wrote this document up, let's say in Nisan, but he never gave it. So the deal never went through. And he, in fact, gave it to somebody else. Umasal or shtar. And he gives the other guy the shtar. So Reuven originally wrote this up for Shimon, but in fact never gave it to Shimon, and then in fact gave it to Levi. So Levi has a shtar that absolutely proves that this item is his. V'zochabo, and he acquired it. But now, Ubal Lachsubo, Reuven now wants to change his mind. And he says, I really don't want to give it to Levi. So what does he want to do? Ubal Lachsubo min Hasheni, he doesn't want to give it to Levi. He wrote, and he changed his mind. He wishes to give it to Shimon, the first guy. So therefore, he wants to get back this shtar, Shiotzien of the Beis Din, that he'll now bring to the Beis Din, which shows that Shimon's document was written earlier than Levi's document. The Nimtzos Man Shtar Zeh, so Reuven's giving to Shimon the document that now is found, even though he never gave it to Shimon beforehand, will now trump the document that he gave to Levi, because the document that he wrote up for Shimon but never gave to him is in Nisan, it's an earlier date. And the one he gave to Levi was a later date, it was in Tishrei. And therefore, Shimon will come to court, the Yotziena, Miyodo, Badin. And therefore, that's why the Braisa says, we don't give it back. Because maybe there's shenanigans going on over here. Reuven, in fact, wants Shimon to get it, even though he never gave it to Shimon, and he'll use this document to inappropriately take it away from Levi, who really gave it to and was zocheh in the item. So that's what the Braisa says. Why is our Mishnah not concerned about that? Why is there this stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa? So Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Mamo, Rabbi Abba Bar Mamo says, Lo kasha, return to your testament beis. There's no stira over here, because ha bibari, v'ha bishchiv meira. Now, we're dealing here with two different scenarios, the Braisa and the Mishnah. And the Gemara explains, Masnisin on Mishnah, which says that you're allowed to return it if he says tenu, Masnisin de ketane ha amar tenu. On Mishnah, which is saying that if you said tenu, you can give it back. Nostin, we do give it back, is dealing with bishchiv mira. That's dealing with this deathbed transfer of the property. Debar mahaderhu. Because you know what? What's the harm that could happen over here? There is no harm that can happen if we give back the original document and we don't have to be concerned that there was another document that was given over to a Levi. Even if we give over to Shimon, Shimon will be able to inappropriately take it. There is no such concern. Because the Amrinim, we say, Michael Amemer, what is the possible fraud that could occur over here? What's the possible inappropriate taking that Shimon could do to Levi in this situation? Dumo kisava meikar lahai. In fact, like we just brought down from Rashi, maybe Reuven originally wrote it for Shimon, and then he changed his mind. The imlich below Yov Anila. He wrote it up, but he actually never gave it to Shimon. And then he wrote up a real document for Levi, and the Yov Anila, he gave it to Levi. Levi made a kinyan on it, and Levi really owns the property. And now, Hashta Kohoder Bey Mehau the Yov Anila. And you're concerned that now Reuven is upset that he actually gave it to Levi. He wished he had given it over to Shimon, and he'll take this document and inappropriately say this document really was given to Shimon before the document to Levi, and therefore we should give it to Shimon. Why is that not a concern? Because the Gemara says, because ibematnas bari yovale, if in fact he gave ematnas bari over to Levi, so then let's leip seda. He's not causing Levi any loss because the chinavka tarte, because if both documents are brought out, the original document to Shimon and then the other document to Levi, so then basrai sazochi, Levi won't be hurt. If there really is a document to Levi, Levi will win the case because here actually the ha hodar be mikamaisa. If they're still alive and now he has this document, so then Levi is going to win the case because Reuven is allowed to retract his giving to Shimon, and the later document will be the one that will win. So even if they bring out this false document, he never gave it to Shimon, but it has an earlier date. So Levi's going to say, well, my date is later. So he changed his mind. While he's alive, he's allowed to change his mind, and therefore, I'll win anyway. So if it's a Matnas Bari, Levi's going to win anyway. And if, in fact, Ibn Matnas Shchiv Mira, Nami Yovaniyale, and even if it was a Matnas Shchiv Mira that he gave to Levi, so then also, we're not harming Levi by bringing out the original document from Shimon. Less Bob say that nobody is being heard over here. Because again, the Basraisa Zochi, the Gohoda Bemi Kamaisa. Because the same thing applies over here as well. When you have these two documents of a Shchiv Mira, so the Shchiv Mira is considered Kisuvim Sum Domi when he dies. But until he dies, he's allowed to change his mind. And therefore, by having a document that's dated later, he's demonstrated that he changed his mind. So Mimonoshach, whether it's a Matnas Bari that was given over to Levi, or whether it's a Matnas Shchiv Mira that was given over to Levi, Levi's going to win the case. So therefore, our Mishnah, which is talking about this person who is a Shchiv Mira himself, so therefore, there is no concern that Levi will be cheated out of what he legitimately owned and picked up with the giving of the document to him. Because Shimon's document will lose no matter what. Whether the document given over to Levi was a Matnas Bari or a Matnas Shchiv Mira, Levi is going to win no matter what. So therefore, our Mishnah has no concern. However, the Braisa, Kikitani Braisa, there's a problem. Even though everybody agrees that this is a valid document, the one that was given to Shimon, lo yazir, lo lozev, lo lozev, we have to be concerned that there's fraud going on over here, and we can't give it back neither to Reuven or to Shimon. And that's because we're dealing over here with a regular, healthy person, Bibari, the Lav Bar Mihadeve, who, this is not considered a Matana like a Matana Shchiv Mira, right? This is a regular Matana. And here, it's a regular Matana, so it goes over immediately to the person. So as soon as he gave it to Levi, so boom, it belongs to Levi. A predated document that it says it belongs to Shimon, if it wasn't really given, is going to fraudulently take it away from Levi. And therefore, we say, Daminan. In fact, Reuven first wrote the document for Shimon, the Imlich Loyoli, but he changed his mind and didn't give the document to Shimon. The Hodik Sovel in Shachrin, and then he writes one for Levi, the Yovale, and gave it to Levi. Levi acquired it, and Levi is the real owner of this item, this present that Reuven gave to him. But now he's having second thoughts. Hashto Kohodebe Mehau the Yovale. But now Reuven got into a fight with Levi, whatever, and he says, I really don't want Levi to get it. I wish I could give it somehow to Shimon. So what does he do? Visovar, he says, Mihader lo motzino hadrino be. I can't retract legally this gift to Levi. It was a regular gift, and he owns it. So Emalhu, I'm going to go tell the court. This document you found, in fact, that's a document that I really gave to Shimon. That's a real document. V'nihadru nialeg sova, and they'll give this document to him. Like we said, when you find the document, if he says it's new, you in fact go and give it to him. Now Shimon has the document in his possession. Now he's going to go to court and take away the property, the item from Levi, because he has an earlier document. This would work. Zocha behu, and he will get it. And then you know what? He'll be in cahoots. Reuven and Shimon will go and split the property. And therefore, this would be a cheating of Levi. And that's why the Braisa says, lo yachzir. Because talking about a regular gift, not talking about any sort of dealing with the Matnas Shchiv Mira. And therefore, what will the court say to this person? El Amrino Lei. They'll say, Anan, haik sova lo evina le lahai. We're not allowed to go give this back to Reuven or to Shimon. Because Dilma michtav ksavta of miyav lo yavis niyale. Because maybe it was written up, but you never gave it to him. And now he's going to go and collect with this. Yavis lina shachrina. You, in fact, gave the property to Levi with a valid star, the ko hadaris bay. And now you're trying to go and take it away from Levi, who really owns it. So, I lo yavis lina shachrina. If, in fact, you never gave it to a Levi, and you're saying, no, you really gave it to Shimon, there is no Levi involved over here, no problem. The Koboyas, the says, well, hi, and you really want to still give it to Shimon, write him up a new document. Write him up another document. It says, as of today, I'm giving it to you. Give him this document, and he'll own the field. If there's no Levi, like you're claiming, so then no harm is done. He'll have the document right now. The E, obviously, in Shachrina, but if, in fact, you did give it over to Levi, Les Babe Seda, because you won't be causing any loss to Levi, because we're not going to give you back this document. Write up a new document. And if you really had not given it to Levi, then Shimon will get it. And if you really gave it to Levi, then Levi will retain it, the Kodim Zochi, because he got it first. And therefore, the person who was given the document in truth, Levi, is not going to be hurt by your writing up a document now, because he'll have an earlier document if he really does exist. If there is no such Levi, so then, no problem, Shimon will get it. But this will prevent you from doing your shenanigans that you'll try to take it away from Levi for whatever the reason and give it to Shimon inappropriately. So that's how we reconcile the Mishnah and the Braisa. They're talking about different scenarios. The Mishnah is talking about a Matnas Shchivira, and the Braisa is talking about a Matnas Bari. Now the Gemara says, wait a second. Rav Zvid said, wait a second, boy, Edi, both the Mishnah and the Braisa, Daiti calls Kotani. It's talking about a Daitiki. How can you tell me one is talking about the Braisa, talking about a Matnas Bari, and the Mishnah is talking about a Matnas Shchivira? They're using the terminology of Daitiki, which is only used by a Matnas Shchivira. So that reconciliation that we just tried to make between the Mishnah and the Braisa by saying the Mishnah is talking about a Matnas Shchivira, that's Daitiki. But to say that the Braisa is talking about a Matnas Bari, it's a Daitiki. So I can't be talking about a Matnas Bari. So we just have to reject everything that we just said. Someone says, you're right. Elor, Rav Zvid said, this is the way to reconcile the Mishnah and the Braisa. They're both obviously talking about a Shchivira because they're using the terminology of Daitiki. So why is there a stira? The Mishnah says you can return it if it says Tenu, and the Braisa says you can't return it even though it says Tenu. Lo kasha. Who is the one that's saying that this is a valid document? The Mishnah Masnisin the Ko'omar Tenu Nosnin Bidi Day. The Mishnah that says you're allowed to give the document back when he says, yes, it's a valid document, I really gave it to Shimon, so then you can give it back to him. That's when he himself is saying so. The Bar Mehadhu, because as a Shchiv Mira, he is entitled to go and retract. So even if this was a change, he's allowed to change. So yeah, he might have given it first to Levi, but now he really wants to give it to Shimon. So no harm is done, because in fact, he's allowed to go give it to Shimon. So therefore, no harm is done. Whereas the Braisa, as we'll see in a moment, is talking about the son trying to go and claim that this is a valid document, and that will cause a problem. But first, let's explain Bididei, why the Bar Mahadhu, he's allowed to go and retract, and therefore, it's not a problem of cheating out Levi if we'd give this document back to Shimon. Because Damrina, we say, Inami Yovelin Shachrina, if in fact he had given over the property to Levi after he wrote up the first document, so last but said it, we're not going to hurt Levi at all, because the Kama Ubasra, Basra Zochi. Because if in fact he really wrote it to Levi afterwards, so Levi will be able to go and collect, because if it's a Matnas Shchiv Mira, he's allowed to have retracted from Shimon. So we're not causing Levi any loss by giving it back to Shimon. If Levi really has a document that's dated later, he'll get it anyway. The ho hoder be mi come up, because by writing a later document, he's essentially nullifying the earlier document. So when we give this back to Shimon, if there is a Levi, we're not hurting anybody. And ki kartoni bebraisa, but the braisa is talking about it's talking about that they both agree. Lo yachzer, lo lezev, lo lezev. We still don't give it back. That's talking about Bibrei. It's talking about the son of the Shchiv Mira. The Shchiv Mira never passed away. And now his son wants to retract. And this could lead to a problem, because the Amrina, the Gemara says, we would say, in fact, the father may have written the document for this person. He wrote it for Shimon, but he never gave it to Shimon. Ubasar Avua, and then after the father died, Kosav Ihu Liinish Achrina, the son who inherited this property, now wrote it for Levi. But Vyavale, he gave it to Levi, and Levi made a kinyan on it, but he changed his mind. Bahashta Kohoder Bemeho, he says, I wish I hadn't given it to Levi. I really like Shimon better. I made a mistake in giving it to Levi. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take this document that is found and go and give it to Shimon. And what's going to be? Sovar. I can't go and retract it from Levi. I gave him a valid document. He really owns this property. However, I'm going to go tell the Beis Din, that document, the Abba Yova Lei Lahai. Yeah, my father gave the document to Shimon, the Nesule Kosve, and they will therefore, the Beis Din will go give it back because he's Motet Tenu. So the Beis Din will listen to the son and give the document to Shimon, the Nezel, the Nafik Mine, and then he'll go to the Beis Din and go and take the property, because he says, listen, the son gave the property to Levi, but the son didn't own the property. He didn't Yarishin it. In fact, this was a Matnas Shchiv Mira, and Shimon got the property before the son inherited, and therefore the son could not give it over to Levi. So what's going to happen? Shimon is going to go and take the property, the Nezo, the Nafik Minei, and he'll win. Dehu Zochi, the Beis Din will pass him that he's entitled to the property. And now the son, the Niflog Badei, the son of he will be in cahoots, and the son will go and take the item and split it with Shimon. So this way he got it away from Levi, illegally, fraudulently, and he and Shimon will go and split it. So therefore, that's why the Braisa says you can't go and give it back. Hilkach, Aminale, therefore, the Beis Din will tell the son, Anan haiksova lo yovina lelahai. We're not going to give it back to you, and we're not giving it back to Shimon. Because the dilma miktav ksova yavu, because maybe your father wrote it up for Shimon, but never gave it to him. Mayhav lo yovale, he didn't give it to him. And therefore, Shimon doesn't get it. V'yahav is oddly in a shakrina, but we're concerned that you, in fact, after you inherited it, sold it, or gave it over to Levi, and now you want to retract that. The Kohadris Bay, but you're not allowed to. And therefore, you're making this shenanigan up. Elo, ikushto ka'amris diyov le'avuch. If, in fact, what you're saying is right, that your father did, in fact, give it to Shimon during his lifetime, so zil atashta, go yourself right now, and ksiv le'shtar achrina, write to Shimon the document. If you're claiming there is no Levi around, so then, write the document now to Shimon and give it to Shimon. Because the inami lo yov ole avua, because even if your father didn't give it to him, and in fact, ukasve at lene shachrina, and you really gave it over to Levi, again, less bo pseda, no problem will occur now. We're not causing any Levi a loss because you're claiming there is no Levi. So the kama ubasra, kama zochi, because in this situation, you're writing it now to Shimon, after your father passed away. Well, if there is a Levi, he has an earlier document. So therefore, Levi would win. So therefore, we're not causing Levi any loss. If Levi does exist, we're not causing Levi any loss by having you write a document right now to give it over to Shimon, because Levi will win if there is a Levi. And if there is no Levi, so then you're claiming your father gave it to him. So you're giving it to him. The guy has the property. So Mimanushach, either Shimon will have the property for real, and if there is a Levi, we're not going to take it away from Levi. And that's why we don't give it back, lo yatsir, lo lazeh, v'lo lazeh, in the case of the Braisa, which is dealing with the son and not the father. Oh, very good. Now we explain and reconcile the Mishnah and the Braisa. Tanya Rabbah, we learn the following Braisa, matzah shover. If your person finds a receipt that says that the woman was, in fact, paid her ksuba. So this receipt is from the woman to her ex-husband and says, you paid me the ksuba. So, bisman shoisha moda, if the woman admits that this was in fact a valid paying off of a ksuba, so yatsil about, then you're allowed to go and return it to the husband. However, eino isha moda, if the woman says, no, this is not a ksuba, a receipt for a ksuba, my husband never paid me the ksuba. So, lo yatsil, lo lazeb, then you don't give it back to the woman, and you don't give it back to the husband. Now, bisman shoisha moda, mias yatsil about, but this Bryce of Beferish says that if the woman admits that this was a valid receipt that she got from her husband, that she gave to her husband, so then yasal about, then you give the receipt back to the husband, and he has proof that he paid off her ksuba. Mor says, wait a second, why aren't we concerned, the lechosh, we should be suspecting duma kosva lite benison. Maybe, in fact, she wrote up this receipt that her husband paid her the ksuba in Nisan. But the lo nos not Tishrei. Again, she only gave it to him in Tishrei. And therefore, the Oslo Zivanto Liksuba Bitovas Hano Minisona Tishrei. And meanwhile, she sold her ksuba, the ability to collect the ksuba, in between the months of Nisan and Tishrei. Now, in fact, who owns the ksuba? She does. At this point in time, she didn't give it to her husband, so her husband hadn't yet paid back. So she has the right to go and sell off her ksuba, what we call tovas hanor. Nobody's going to buy this ksuba at the full price. The ksuba is worth $200. So nobody's going to pay her $200 for this because they may never collect it. So a guy will speculate and say, okay, I'll buy it for you for $50. If your husband dies before you, so then he'll have to pay you the ksuba. If the husband divorces you, he'll have to pay the ksuba. No. If you die first, then there's no payment over here at all. I'm willing to buy on speculation your ksuba for $50. That's called tovas hanor. So she went and sold her ksuba for the $50 as tovas hanor in between Nisan and Tishrei. Now, the husband really only paid off the ksuba in Tishrei. So the lo nos na Tishrei, she only gave him the receipt in Tishrei. Now, umei bikle lashover the ksuba Nisan. She is going to go and have this document written up, the receipt for Nisan. The husband is going to have this document saying that he, in fact, paid off this in Nisan, and therefore the also lemitrav lekucha shlo b'din. This person who purchased Betobas Hanah, her ksuba, and really would be allowed to go and collect from it because now the husband's divorcing the wife and he's collecting the ksuba, he would be the one to collect the ksuba. He paid $50 for it and he'll get $200. He hit the gold mine. So, but also lemitra lekucha shlo kudin. But the husband will say, no, I already paid back the ksuba. There was no ksuba that you bought. Get your $50 back from the lady, but I don't have to pay you the $200 for the ksuba. But also lemitra lekucha shlo kudin. Why aren't we concerned about that? So Amar Rava, Rava says, and we turn to Chof Amar Aleph. Shema Amino, we see from here, Isa Lidishmuel, that we in fact pass like Shmuel. What does Shmuel say? The Amar Shmuel, Hamocher Shtar Chov L'Chaveiro, if somebody sells an IOU to his friend, but the Chazar Mechalo, so Ruvain sold his IOU that Shimon owes him money, and he sells it to Levi, right? So Ruvain really lent Shimon $100. Now, he didn't collect his $100 yet. He sells the IOU to Levi for $50. He says, I'd rather have the $50 from you right now than have the $100 when the note is due a year from now or whenever. Maybe Shimon won't pay it. Maybe he will. Maybe it's too far away. I want the money now. So he sells this IOU to Levi. He sold this IOU to Levi. But then, you know what? Reuven says, I like Shimon. He's a nice guy. I don't really like Levi. He goes and forgives the IOU. So this IOU, which is in the hands of Levi, Levi purchased it, nevertheless, Machul. He has the right, Reuven has the right to go forgive the IOU to Shimon. No, Levi will be able to take him to court and say that he caused him damage. No, that's a separate din. But the bottom line is, Reuven was able to be Machul the debt, even though it's in the possession of Levi. Vafilu Yorish Machul. And guess what? Even Reuven's son would be allowed to go and be Machul his debt. Now, that's what Shmuel said. If what Shmuel said is right, so therefore, we don't have a concern that the woman inappropriately gave this receipt to her husband in Tishrei, and now he's going to use it from Nisan. Because guess what? Even if it's in Tishrei, and the person who purchased it, with Tovas Hanah, the rights of Kesuba, purchased it before Tishrei, the woman can be Ma'achal the debt. And if she's Ma'achal the debt, like Shmuel said, so then the debt is Ma'achal. So even though the document was actually given only in Tishrei, and the guy bought it before Tishrei, in Tishrei, she has the right to be Mochel the debt. So therefore, we're not causing any harm to these Lekuchos, if you hold like Shmuel. That is the teretz that Rava gives. Abai doesn't like this. Abai Amar, no. Afilu temor leisi the Shmuel. You don't have to necessarily hold like Shmuel to say that a person can be Mochel after he gave over the IOU. He sold it later, he can still be Mochel. You don't have to hold like that. In fact, that's not true. You don't have to hold like Shmuel. But why is there not a problem over here? Based upon the woman saying that this is a valid receipt, gives it back to the husband. Why are we not concerned over here that it was given really in Tishrei and he's going to use it to go and prevent the Tovas Hanah from occurring that the ksuba was sold? He's going to say, well, I already paid it off in Nisan and therefore the ksuba doesn't have to be paid to this other person. Why is that not a problem? Because Gemara says, Hach Mayaskin, what is the case according to Abaye? Because guess what? She has the ksuba. So if she has the ksuba in her possession, so then, obviously, she didn't sell the ksuba. And therefore, if she didn't sell the ksuba, there is no harm in returning the receipt to the husband. So therefore, Abaye says, the reason why we give it back to her, because she has the ksuba in her hands. So obviously, the ksuba was not paid off if she still has a ksuba. So therefore, if she claims, no, it was paid off, here's the receipt, so then you can go give it back to the husband. And that's what we're dealing with. B'shishtar ksuba yotzi mitachas yoda. And that's why Abaye says there is no problem, even if you don't hold like Shmuel, that she can be mochaleh. No, there is nobody that can be hurt over here because she has the ksuba. So she obviously didn't sell the ksuba b'tovas hanah. No, why didn't Rava like that? Why didn't Rava say like Abaye? Why did Rava say it had to fit in with Shmuel? But Rava Amar, no. If you're telling me, oh, she has a ksuba in her possession, that's why we don't have to be concerned about the receipt. No, we do have to be concerned because Chayshin and Lishtei Ksubos. Maybe she said she lost the ksuba. She's not allowed to live with her husband. And therefore, he wrote her up a second ksuba. So yeah, she had given the first ksuba over to this guy, B'tovas Hanah, and now you're saying, well, here's my ksuba. You can give back the receipt. It's a shenanigan going on, and we have to be concerned that she's going to, in fact, use this to somehow hurt the person who she sold her ksuba to, B'tovas Hanah. No, why isn't Abaye concerned about that? That there's shtei ksubos, the Abaye, Abai Omar, no, chada, number one, l'shnei ksubas, l'cheshena. This is a very unlikely scenario that the husband wrote her two ksubas. So therefore, I'm not concerned about that. It's an unlikely thing. We don't worry ourselves about unlikely things. But even if you want to say, we're concerned about that, shover bizmano torif, look at the date on the receipt. That is when the debt is no longer considered collectible. That's when it's considered paid off. Even though he only paid it off at a later point in time, even if he only got this receipt at a later point in time, nevertheless, you look at the date that it was on the receipt, and that will be the determination. And therefore, if in fact it was written in Nisan, so then the person that you sold the ksuba to for Tova Sana will not be entitled to it, and we're not hurting him. This is based Abaye Latame. This goes at Abaye according to his previously stated Svara, the Omar. Abaye had said this, we had learned this a few days ago on Daf Yud Gimel, Edov Bechasum of Zochlo. We learned it today as well, that the Edom, when they sign it, so this is a schus for the person, so Zochlo Yodim Shalom Bafanav. When the Edom sign it, they're requiring it for him. And therefore, the husband really acquires the receipt from Nisan, even though it's only given to him in Tishrei. And therefore, Abaye says there's not going to be a problem, and that's how Abaye reconciles over here, the giving back the receipt, when the woman says to Nu that yes, you can give back the receipt. There's no concern that she'll hurt the person who she subsequently, if she did sell it to, the person with Tovah Sanah, that she's hurting that person. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shiur.